As long as you're doing your best and you desire to do what's right according to God's Word, you can be assured God is pleased with you.
Joel Osteen from his latest book, Become a Better You. We're reviewing it tonight on Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. There he is. He's staring out at me, smiling, beautifully attired, hair nicely coiffed, from the cover of his book, Become a Better You, 7 Keys to Improving Your Life Every Day. It's chock full of good advice on how to be nice, like much of what Joel Osteen preaches and writes about. But is Christianity about becoming a better you? We're reviewing the book with Dr. Larry Rasch. You can join us with questions or comments as well. Our call-in number live this Sunday night, November the 25th, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. Larry Rast is our guest, academic dean and associate professor of historical theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Larry, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Hey, guess what? I have to correct you. I'm actually a full professor now.
Oh, you know what? I knew that last time we talked to you.
Did I tell you that?
Well, I must have heard it through the grapevine. Okay. So your title actually gets shorter.
It's shorter, yeah. Like me.
Because,
like I am, yeah.
Because they don't say full professor. That sounds a little ostentatious.
That's
they
right,
just
yeah.
drop the associate, and now you're professor of historical theology. Now, is there a significant pay raise attached to the change of title?
I'm becoming a better me.
Becoming a better Larry every day in every way. This is an email from Paul in Milwaukee, who has a very simple question, really. He says, who is Joel Osteen? What has led him to these positions on redemption and grace and faith? Is his thought his own, or is he the product of a long train of error and some wrongheadedness on his own part? Where would you categorize him in the sweep of American Christianity, how we can have now in 2007 Joel Osteen and become a better you?
Oh, that's a very good question. As brief as it is, it really there's a lot to it. Joel Osteen's part of the much larger tradition of the Word Faith movement, which we can take back through some folks like his own father, who actually started Lakewood Congregation, Lakewood Church, that Joel is the pastor of now. But other folks within this within that tradition, stretching back now, well, about a century's worth, are people like Oral Roberts and folks along those lines. And a part of this is that their thinking is that kind of the name-it-claim-it theology is what it's been kind of crassly put as. And what it means is God has redeemed you as his own child. He is, as such, you are a child of the Most High God, of the Heavenly King, and therefore he wants all good things for you. However, you have to have the faith, you have to have the tenaciousness, and you also have to align yourself to and your desires to the will of God so that he will give you these things. But if you do those, you will receive those gifts. Now, one of the big parts of the one of the ongoing questions has always been, what are the gifts? What do they look like? What's their character, their distinguishing characteristics? And that's where there's been some difference of opinion. For example, with Oral Roberts, and even with Osteen's father, I'm drawing a blank on his name right
John.
Now.
John,
thank you very much. There was more of an inclination towards the charismatic or Pentecostal movement, whereas you don't hear that as up front, shall we say, with Joel and his work. So the gifts can differ, but the basic theology underlying these is the same. And that all being said, however, it's part of a deeper movement, kind of the Pentecostal Wesleyan holiness thinking that stretches well back into the 19th century and even has some of its roots in the middle part of the 1700s, so back into the 18th century.
Thanks.
It's a long development, shall we say.
Thanks for that email, Paul. And Paul does listen in Milwaukee on WRRD. What was the term they used to use? Higher life? Was that the term that was so common, or is that more recent?
No, well, that's one of them. There's also the notion of a second blessing. And again, the question of, you know, what does that second blessing consist of? Is it the gift of speaking in tongues? Is it a gift of entire sanctification? There's been a lot of perspectives on that over the years, but the notion is there's kind of a run-of-the-mill Christianity in which you have Jesus as your Savior. That's sort of the entry point. But then there's a higher level, if you will, like you put it, or a second blessing that committed people receive that takes them up a notch, where Jesus becomes really their Lord, the Lord of their life as a whole. And that's where we see the transformative experiences and the additional gifts, and gift upon gift upon gift is the argument here. One real basic expression of this is seed faith thinking, and that is the kind of covenantal responsibility that God has to give you double back what you offer in true faith. And that means, therefore, you must give beyond your means, significantly beyond your means, but if you take that step in real and true faith, then God will give you back more than, at least double what you've committed. But you hear it all again, the theology in all of this, and it's you. You need to do these things. You need to step out in faith. You need to be the one who is compliant to the will of God. It's all about you, and that's the problem.
Susan listens in Tupelo, Mississippi, and she writes us, "How glaring is the difference between the gospel according to Paul and that according to Osteen? Paul uses himself only as the example of a helpless sinner, whereas Osteen so often uses himself as an example of the more highly evolved Christian." That's a pretty good term there. He would have us turn ourselves into such shining examples as well through the purchase of his books, of course. He would turn us not into Christians, but to idol worshipers. Has Susan overstated the case?
Oh, heavens. You don't want to fall into cynicism at any point. But the warning that she announces here, I think, is nonetheless well-spoken. And that is, any time we find ourselves being drawn away from the object of our faith, which is Christ, we need to take a step back and say, hold off here. And reorient ourselves to that which is the proper object, Christ himself and Christ alone. And, for example, Joel Osteen put this book out as a how-to manual on kind of rethinking your life in terms of being nicer to people, those sorts of things. I guess if he didn't float it out there as a way to give people hope, I would have fewer issues with it.
Well, if he didn't say things like, as long as you're doing your best, God is pleased with you,
right,
which is absolutely
right,
contrary to what Scripture teaches.
Right.
If he simply said, try to be a little nicer, wake up in the morning with that kind of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, then, Larry, wouldn't that be pretty much the same thing that you could get from, I don't know,
Dr. Phil?
Yeah, Dr. Phil, or just about anyone who can give you good advice on how to be nice.
Yeah, I think so. And maybe that's my big complaint right there is kind of the veneer of Christianity over this thing, where you have kind of this scriptural window dressing. And I know that sounds pretty harsh, and that may get some people riled up, but the scriptures are brought out at points here to underscore the claims that he's making. And as we've already seen, all too frequently, these claims, the scriptures that he brings out to support his claims, in fact, don't support his claims. In many cases, they speak directly against the claims that he's trying to make. If he took those things away and simply said, again, here's some self-help advice on how to interact with your friends a little better, how to win friends and influence people, that sort of thing, you wouldn't hear me raising these criticisms as I'm doing. But when he, for example, just today, I was after we got home from church.
About 30 seconds.
Okay, we had some lunch, and then I was going to watch the Bears game. I didn't realize it wasn't coming on until later. So I turned on CNN briefly, and there was Wolf Blitzer and Joel Osteen. And in it, Wolf Blitzer put to him some direct questions, and Osteen simply would not answer. So at the key points, when he had the opportunity to testify, He missed the opportunity. And that's, I think, what opens him up to some very significant criticism.
Dr. Larry Rast is our guest, academic dean and professor of historical theology at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, reviewing Joel Osteen's latest book, Become a Better You. 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org.
When the fullness of time had come, a Christmas sermon preached by Todd Wilkin.
The most important event in your life didn't even happen in your lifetime. It happened 2,000 years ago, Jesus' perfect death for sinners at the cross.
And we'll send you a CD of this Christmas sermon for a tax-deductible year-end gift of $50 or more to Issues, etc. Donate today, issuesetc.org, or 1-800-737-0172. Thanks for thinking of Issues, etc. as we approach the end of 2007. Today's Issues Etc. broadcast was underwritten in part by Concordia Publishing House, publishers of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, titled What Happened to Merry Christmas? More information is available by finding the book cover on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month, What Happened to Merry Christmas?
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
As we approach the end of 2007, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. This worldwide outreach is listener-supported. We're not affiliated with the Lutheran Hour or the Lutheran Layman's League. You can donate by credit card, our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. By check, write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or donate online at our website, issuesetc.org. Now, anyone who contributes $50 or more to Issues Etc. before the end of the year will receive a CD of a Christmas sermon I preached titled When the Time Had Fully Come. 1-800-737-0172, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or issuesetc.org. This is Todd Wilkin. Thanks for your support this year.
Folks, Issues Etc. is brought to you in part by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. They're going to be hosting Taste of the Sem, January the 19th through the 21st. Now, Taste of the Sem is an opportunity for high school-aged men to experience seminary life for just a couple days. You can find out how to send a young man from your congregation to Taste of the Sem. Look for information under the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org. Taste of the Sem, January 19th through the 21st at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. Norman is listening in Lincoln, Nebraska on KLCV. Hi, Norman. Thanks for waiting.
Hello. Some preachers sound like motivational speakers. Is Joel Osteen any different from Norman Vincent Peale and Robert Schuller?
Thank you very much, Norman. Well, Norman Vincent Peale of the Power of Positive Thinking, Robert Schuller of, I think he calls it possibility thinking.
Possibility thinking, yes.
Any difference in your opinion?
This is certainly within that stream as well. No question about it. As you read Become a Better You, you see, if you've read Peale, for example, and you've listened to Schuller at all, you see the influence that the two of them have had on Joel Osteen as well. So, yes, Norman is right.
An email from Becky in Port Edwards, Wisconsin. She writes, I just wanted to thank you for having a program that covers this book as well as the program that covers his other book. I was tuned on to this television program a few years ago by my father and began to watch. And after viewing a few shows, I realized, and she's talking about Osteen's show, that the shows were all the same. The message that he was giving to his congregation and the TV viewer were all the same. The message wasn't really that the work of Jesus' wonderful grace, his dying on the cross to save us, but his message were all feel-good messages, rarely any scripture references during the show. They seemed to be messages aimed at making people feel good about themselves. I feel his ministry, his books, and all that he does is very dangerous to the Christian world because he's sending the wrong messages. I'm very grateful to programs such as yours to help open our eyes.
if they haven't already discovered for themselves when someone is not teaching the truth. It's frightening when a ministry has a huge crowd, and Joel does have the huge crowd, and is receiving the wrong message. Thanks for the email, Becky. Your thoughts, Larry?
Yeah, well, it's true. I don't watch the show all that much because I just can't, to be honest with you. In fact, I really want to thank you for sending me the book and having me read that over Thanksgiving. That was a great thing, Todd. But in all seriousness, again, the issue here is not about positive thinking and giving people practical, down-home, day-to-day advice on how to interact successfully and well with people. That's not the issue. But when that becomes all it is, and then when that is linked to a view of faith, and like we see in this particular book, and the manner in which it's the law and the gospel are confused, and ultimately the work of Christ on our behalf is obscured, that's when we have to take issue, and that's when we're called to stand up and say, the scriptures, this is not what the scripture teaches. This is not what the scriptures have given us in terms of the great good news of Christ for us. And it's not done out of any kind of sense of jealousy or a critical spirit or that kind of thing. The last thing in the world I want to do is stay up late on Sunday night and gripe about somebody's book. I don't want to do it. But the scriptures call us to be prepared at every point to give a reason for the hope that is within us, and our hope is Christ. And when Christ is obscured, then we need to stand up and make testimony and testify to that fact that Christ crucified and risen again is the basis of our salvation, plain and simple.
Let's talk with Stephen, who listens on KCCV in Overland Park, Kansas. Hi, Stephen.
Hi. I'm a pastor here, and I pastor a church here in Kansas City. And I am just appalled at this theologian or this so-called theologian that's on the radio with you, because all I've heard him do is criticize this man's book. He criticized the first one, and then he criticizes the second one. Now, in the beginning, he said that he didn't have very many scriptures. Now he has too many scriptures, and the scriptures are not fitting what he thinks that they ought to say. Now, I want to say this, you know, reference. If you do reference on Jesus, when Jesus called anybody, especially his disciples, he called people who were doing something. When you speak in reference to Joel Osteen, Joel Osteen is not the typical gospel type preacher. He is more on a practical level, like Joyce Meyer, Robert Schuller, and those guys. You know, that he doesn't preach. See, the problem with most churches is that we have all these gospel messages down, but we sloppy with our lifestyles. We have bad credit. You know, we can't make ends meet. We got people like this guy here on radio who don't know his head from hole in the ground.
Now, Stephen, you know what I mean? Stephen, be nice, please.
Well, I'm being nice, but you know, if you're going to get on and criticize. That's all he's done. I frame to do since he's been on the radio program. I mean, are you?
Well,
has Stephen done anything different?
Stephen, thank you for the call. All Stephen has done in his phone call is criticize Larry's criticism. Let's deal with a couple things here, and I would say it to Stephen. Look, go to the gospel. The devil quotes scripture. He doesn't misquote it. He quotes scripture. The devil quotes it right there to Jesus' face. Mormons quote the Bible. There are more scripture references in the Book of Mormon than in Joel Osteen's book, and I don't think even Stephen would say that he would recommend the Book of Mormon to someone just because there are scripture references in there. How do you respond to this? And we've heard it a lot. Joel Osteen, he isn't your typical gospel preacher. Joel would say, I'm not a gospel preacher. I'm an encourager.
Right, and he was doing that today when he was on with Wolf Blitzer and saying, you know, for example, Wolf Blitzer, and I think this was a repeat of something earlier, it said to him, what about, you know, abortion and what about homosexuality? And Osteen said that he's opposed to abortion, well said, and that, but then he said, and I don't think homosexuality is God's best for people or something to that effect. Again, here's the opportunity for a person to stand up and confess. And like I said a few minutes ago, I don't get great joy out of coming on late on a Sunday night and criticizing a person. And like I said to Stephen, he seemed to find it pretty easy to turn that right back around on me. We'd, But when we have convictions about something, we do need to stand up and do those things. And Stephen has every right to do it and to criticize me, and I'm not offended by him doing so. But he's got to give me the right then to do the same thing to Joel Osteen and also to him when he says he's not your typical gospel-type preacher. Every preacher better be a gospel-type preacher, every single one of them. Because the thing that distinguishes preachers, true preachers of the Scriptures, is that they are gospel-type preachers. We can go to any kind of seminar, any number of seminars about getting our credit in order. We can go to any number of seminars about how to advance our career and do all these practical, day-to-day, down-to-earth things. We can go to seminars to get those things in line. But we're never going to do them from a Christian perspective and never going to do them truly successfully unless we actually hear that gospel. Otherwise, it's just going to be the law, do this, do this, do this, do this. And the fact is none of us ever do it perfectly. Again, however, even in the midst of the fact that we don't accomplish this rightly and perfectly in our own lives, that's why we need these gospel preachers, so that we hear the truly good news. The truly good news is not look inside yourself and see what you can do. The truly good news is that Jesus Christ, knowing that you're a sinner, that you're a failure, that you've fallen into all these kinds of rebellions against God, knowing all those things, he came to save you. That's what we need to hear more preaching of.
I want you to think about it, folks. Joel Osteen has, by their count, and there's no reason to doubt it whatsoever, almost 40,000 people in his church every week, and I believe tens of millions in the television audience every week, and that's probably a gross underestimation. What an opportunity. What would Jesus have done with that opportunity? Taught you how to balance your checkbook or get your credit back in line? What would St. Paul have done with that opportunity? Would he have said, okay, let's talk about how we should better spend our money or do this or do that? Would he have spent the time talking about becoming a better you? Read St. Paul's letters. How much time does he spend talking about becoming a better you? Zero amount of time. What does he say? I determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. Sounds like a gospel preacher to me. Be right back. Dr. Dean Winthy, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the important work of Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief.
It has done a remarkable job of joining acts of mercy to the center of Christian theology, namely Christ and his saving work for us. There in the past has been a tendency to do one or the other, that is, on the one hand, to proclaim the gospel and neglect the very real human needs, or the opposite extreme has been to tend to human needs but not to bring the saving gospel of Christ to bear. And Pastor Harrison and his staff share with us the conviction that these two go hand in hand.
Find LCMS World Relief at our website, issuesetc.org, or call 1-888-930-4438.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again, talking with Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, about the world's AIDS crisis. Matt, talk about how the AIDS crisis especially affects children.
Nearly 20% of AIDS deaths are children. Children who, through absolutely no ethical or moral fault of their own, have this curse upon them. And these are children where it's very easy to look upon them in pictures and say, well, they are those children. But then you meet them, each one of them, and you hear each one's name. And you talk to them about where they go to church and what they dream about and what they would like to have in their little lives. Something as simple as a chair, let alone a toy, or a bed, or somebody who loves them, and you can't but respond.
How is LCMS World Relief and the many who support it, how are they responding to this crisis?
traditionally, we've done most of the response by way of education. That is, we've provided resources to our partners, many in Africa, but also AIDS in Thailand becomes a real is becoming an extreme challenge, and also in Russia, providing dollars so that pastors, church workers, health workers can be trained on AIDS. So education is very important, and we believe education is really key within a strong Lutheran context of law and gospel, and one that has a proper understanding of sexuality as God's gift, and the blessings that that God gives us there, and the blessings of faithfulness and monogamy. So that has been important. We have, in the last several years, been very active with several orphanages in Kenya, and that has been just a wonderful joy. We just finished building a brand new orphanage that houses about 60 children. It's amazing. For about $30,000, we were able to build a complete orphanage. We just added to the Matango Orphanage in western Kenya an entire medical clinic for really very little money comparatively. And we're increasingly going in this direction, providing resources for congregations in Africa so they can deal with their own HIV/AIDS orphans.
LCMS World Relief offers Christ-centered, cross-focused help to victims of the world's AIDS crisis. For more information about LCMS World Relief, find them at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call them toll-free 1-888-930-4438. LCMS World Relief, concerned for both body and soul.
God's plan for each of our lives is that we continually rise to new levels. But how high we go in life and how much of God's favor and blessings we experience will be directly related to how well we follow His directions.
Joel Osteen from his book, Becoming a Better You, kind of a typical passage there. When a book is about becoming a better you, then how high you rise depends entirely on you. It really ends up being all about you. Become a Better You, we're reviewing it with Dr. Larry Rass tonight on Issues Etc. Back to the phones to J.D., who listens in St. Louis on KSIV. Hi, J.D.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Just hearing about Joel Osteen, I was reminded of a verse in Amos 8:11. The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine for hearing the words of the Lord. And to hear your quote of Pastor Osteen just reminds me of the necessity of the church to call him out clearly as a false teacher, and not to mince words.
Thank you very much, J.D., and thanks for listening in St. Louis. Your thoughts there, Larry?
Well, you can certainly hear that that people react strongly to Joel Osteen, and with his even with his approach, when he tries to continually and consistently seeks to state that he's really an encourager and he's all about instilling a message of hope in people. There are a number of folks, even this evening, who've called in and said, "Now, hang on a second." And I think it revolves around this notion of hope, and what our hope really is. You know, our faith is the assurance of things that we don't see, and the hope that we have that God is faithful in His promises to us. And when you reduce these, or at least when it appears that you reduce these promises to more material and kind of fleeting character, fleeting experiences, perhaps material possessions, that sort of thing, at least gives that impression, a lot of folks begin to say, now listen, that's not what the scriptures are telling us about. Now, at the same time, he makes a point in this book about not kind of falling into the trap of thinking about the great by and by and you know, only living for a life in heaven. But that's why I was struck. You know, it was very, very nice during the break that you had Matt Harrison on, and you also had Dr. Wenthe, our president here at the seminary, on, both talking about the coupling together of works of mercy with the hope that we have because of what Christ has done for us. And I think one of the scripture passages that we as Lutherans have a really great opportunity to lay this out before people, is in Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus is talking about the works of service we do on behalf of others. Now, a little bit earlier, you played that cut from the book where Joel Osteen was saying, you know, you got to take care of yourself first. But in Matthew 25, at the final judgment, there is a pretty strong judgment on those who simply live for themselves. You know, when Jesus says in Matthew 25:42, "For I was hungry and you gave me no food, I was thirsty and you gave me no drink, I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me." And the response of these folks is, "Lord, when did we see any of that?" And his answer to them is, "You didn't do it to these people, the least of these, who were in need." And again, the point was, these folks kind of answer, "Hey, Jesus, if we had known it was you, we would have done this. If we knew you were counting our deeds, if you knew you were weighing us in the scales, we would have come through on this point." And the Lord's response is, "No, listen, as a Christian person, your life is shaped by my life, and my life is one of service. The Son of Man did not come to be served, or I might add, to serve himself, but rather to give his life as a ransom for many, to serve others who couldn't help themselves." And that's the point. And as a result, our lives as Christian, what Stephen called before the break, you know, getting our lives in order, means ordering our lives according to Christ. And the way that happens is God, the Holy Spirit, working through word and sacrament, conforming our lives to Christ. And as that happens, we see more and more how little we have to give. But even if it is just a cup of cold water to one who's in need, that's what we do. And at the end of the day, at the end of the world, as the Lord is in judgment, the people who've done that surprisingly say to Jesus, "When did we see you? When did we do this for you?" And his answer is, "When you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me."
All I got to say, folks, is I'm glad that Jesus doesn't follow Joel Osteen's advice to make yourself your highest priority. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gone to the cross for me. He made me and you his highest priority. Mike in St. Louis listens on KSIV. Hi, Mike.
Hello. Yes, I had a question as it relates to an earlier comment about Joel Osteen saying that you had to have faith in Christ, but also you had to have faith in yourself. I understand faith in Christ and believing in Christ, but is it not true that you also have faith in yourself to just about accomplish anything in life?
Mike, it's a good question. Someone might say, look, isn't in a basic sense, a healthy self-image better for someone who wants to gain success in life than a guy who has a chronic poor self-image? How would you respond to that, Larry?
Yeah, that's a good point. Probably, at least a part of the problem here is the word faith. Faith, again, faith, as the scriptures teach it to us, tell us about, it really has three components. One is knowledge, one is assent, one is trust. That is, we know something about the faith. The scriptures teach us those things. We assent to them. They're true. But the deepest aspect of faith is trust. And trust is something that goes outside of us toward its object, which, of course, as we've discussed over the last couple hours, is Christ. The object of faith is Christ. Now, what gives us that confidence? What allows us to have that faith in Christ? And it is the unshakable, rock-solid foundational promises of God that are fulfilled in Christ for us. Faith in ourselves, I don't know if Mike is like me. I don't have a lot of faith in myself. Now, I do have a lot of confidence in myself. Sometimes folks would say probably too much. You know me well enough, Todd.
Oh, sure.
I'm a self-confident person, and I know I've been given a lot of gifts by God. I'm thankful for those gifts, and I strive to use them as to the best of my ability. At the same time, however, I don't have faith in those abilities that I have. I don't have faith in myself because I know I blow it constantly in terms of using these gifts. There are times when I simply refuse to use the gifts that God has given me. I'm a sinful person. I'm a failure in that regard. That's why I need this object outside of myself, the object of my faith, Christ himself, the one who has made me his own, brought me into his kingdom, covered me with his righteousness, and said, yes, I know all those failures, you're still mine. That will give you an awful lot of confidence, should give you an awful lot of confidence as a child of God. But again, it's outside yourself. The more you look into yourself, I'm convinced, the less confident you'll be if you are truly honest in respect to the level of your Christian sanctified life.
Nate's listening in Austin, Texas on KLGO. Hi, Nate.
Hi, Todd. I noticed that Joel has, you know, has us becoming a better you, but is there any answer in his book for the me that I've been? I mean, I know, so even if I start now becoming the better me, what do I do about all the sins that I've committed before?
Good question, Nate. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening in, Austin. What does he say in the book about the past?
Boy, Nate really put that well. He nailed that on the head. In the book, there's a real tension here. In the book, Joel Osteen says, forget the past. Be done with it. Move on. Those are mistakes. You can't do anything about it. Just forget them. At the same time, however, later in the book, he begins to kind of circle back around and talk about how important the past is, how for one's identity. In fact, there's a very striking little paragraph. I forget exactly where it is in the book, where he talks about a child who every night his mother would come into the room and tell him who he is. And one night when the mother didn't do this, the child cried out and said, Mom, you didn't tell me who I am. There's a great, I mean, this was, I thought at this point, oh, he's going to come through on this point, because God knows exactly who we are. He knows exactly who we are as sinners, and it's specifically because of that he sent Christ into this world. And you have a Christmas sermon that's circulating at this point in which you say the most important event in your life didn't happen during your lifetime. That is absolutely true. It happened before all of our lifetime at the present time. That was the life of Christ on our behalf, and particularly his death on the cross to pay for our sins once and for all, his resurrection, his ascension to the throne of God, so that we would be restored to God. We would be justified, raised again for our justification, as Paul puts it in Romans. Here you see woven together past, present, future. God takes the past extremely seriously. It's not just a matter of forget it. God took it seriously enough to send his son into this world to pay for all those sins, all that rebellion that we as a people were guilty of, that I as an individual am and was guilty of, and will be guilty of as well. And God took that seriously enough to address it. He doesn't sweep it under the rug. He takes care of it once and for all by sending his son as my substitute. So it's not a matter of just kind of forgetting it, but rather God took care of it by sending Christ.
Dr. Larry Rast is our guest. 10 more minutes reviewing Joel Osteen's book, Become a Better You. Why is historical theology important to the training of future pastors? Issues, etc. Regular guest, Dr. Larry Rast.
We live in a day when people are largely ignorant of their past. And what we find as we gaze into our past is that many of the challenges that we face in the present have already been dealt with by the church. What historical theology does is prepare us to speak to the challenges of our times with the unchanging truth of Christ. Historical theology, therefore, is not some pie-in-the-sky abstract endeavor. It has an ultimately practical purpose, and that is preaching Christ and him crucified and risen.
For more information on Concordia Seminary St. Louis and Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne, check out our website, issuesetc.org. Concordia Seminary St. Louis, serving church and world. Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne, teach, reach, care.
For sinners only, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. has its supporters.
I just want to say that I really like your show. It's really helped me. I'm currently in my preparation to enter Concordia Seminary, and this show, I think, has really helped me with my progress. So I just want to say thanks and keep it up.
We also have our share of detractors.
This message that you're sending out is not the message that God wants the people to hear. You don't have a clue as to what he wants. You are all sinners, and you shall rot for eternity for this. You people are insane. Just burn in hell.
That's exactly why we have the Issues, Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. Agree or disagree with something you've heard? Call the Issues, Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. The Issues, Etc. listener comment line, available for your comments, positive and negative, 24/7, 314-505-7825.
It's one thing to be obedient. That's good. That's better than not doing it. But if you want to really experience God's best, you need to be more than obedient. You have to be willing. You have to do it with the right attitude. When you do the right thing with the right motives, there's no limit to what God will do in your life. It's important that we go beyond mere obedience. That's easy. Anybody can do that. But to become a better you, take the next step and be willing to do the right thing with a good attitude.
Joel Osteen reading from his latest book called Become a Better You, Seven Keys to Improving Your Life Every Day. Dr. Larry Rast is our guest. We're reviewing the book for about another 10 minutes here on Issues, Etc. Larry, I got to get your reaction to that he calls for willing obedience. My problem is, that's really my problem. I can't be willingly obedient perfectly the way the law requires.
No, exactly. That's the again, the struggle we've been talking about, the thing that we face as Christian people. We want to. Our desire is to serve God, and we know what his will is. We know what the law says for us to do. The problem, of course, is that we don't do it. And even as Christian people, knowing exactly what God wants us to do, we're disobedient as well. And that's at that point, when you live under that kind of law, you place yourself under its demands, and that means if you're going to be obedient, you're the one who has to fulfill this. You're the one who has to come through. And if you don't keep it sufficiently, then you don't receive the blessings of God. Well, Joel said that as much in this previous cut, the one you just played, that if you don't do this, you won't experience the fullness of the blessings of God. Well, the Scripture puts it even more strongly than that. If you don't obey and do so perfectly, you don't experience the blessing of God at all. You're cut off from God. You cut yourself off from God because it's a simple matter of breaking the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods. If you do not obey, then you have rebelled against God, broken the first commandment, put yourself in his place, and have striven to destroy that relationship. The great news is, again, God, knowing that, redeems us, sends his Son, comes to us, seeks us out, calls us his own, forgives us our sins. And that, again, is very, very good news.
This is what Jeff in McKinney, Texas, has to say. Osteen certainly has a works-oriented view of salvation, which is possibly the easiest heresy to fall into. If justification only comes when we cooperate, then justification never comes. Great point there, by the way, Jeff. He goes on, however, it seems he also has a wrong view of sanctification and glorification. What would all this success really mean? Material prosperity, health, popularity? Jesus was a poor example of those things. I think Joel is confused about the two kingdoms as he is about salvation. Your thoughts, Larry?
Typically speaking, and I think you've made this point already very effectively, Todd, that when you get confused in law and gospel, and the resultant confusion manifests itself in the doctrine of justification, it's not too surprising to see confusion also in the doctrine of sanctification, the doctrine of our life as people of God seeking to live lives in accordance with his will. So sanctification and glorification take on a different character. I did notice, I'll be very frank, I thought I noticed a difference between the two volumes on this point. there was much more a sense in your best life now of the immediacy of rewards if you put your life in order. There was at least a sense, a little bit of a sense in Become a Better You, that you might not have the immediate kind of success that you'd like. I think I made this point when we reviewed the first volume. There's a story in that book about him praying hard while driving around a parking lot in the mall and getting a spot that was right up close. And I think I made some kind of quip at that point. Well, maybe God had intended that for somebody who needed to walk, you know, who didn't need as long a walk, you know, that sort of thing. But in this particular volume, now he talks about there are times when you may not get that parking spot at the mall. But we're still at the mall, for Pete's sake. And this is where I'm having the problem. It's so tied up in the things of the here and now rather than these Matthew 25 works of service on behalf of those who are in need. And there is no greater work of service than the sharing of the gospel. And this, again, is my fundamental complaint with this volume and with the preaching that I hear when I do occasionally watch his show. That is, here you have a pulpit with 40,000 people in place there, and then a much larger, in the millions very likely, television audience, the opportunity to confess Christ and to share the truly good news of salvation, of Christ on our behalf, working on our behalf, is so enormous, and not to take full advantage of that, to me, that's the issue right there.
Another email, this one comes from Dwayne in Troy, Missouri. Short and sweet, good question. Is not Joel Osteen's thinking along the same lines of evangelicalism in these times? Is he really kind of custom made for American evangelicalism today, Larry?
I think so. I think he's gone beyond the earlier evangelicalism, but there is certainly a theological and philosophical development that I think you can track and that Joel Osteen has captured very well. And that may be in no small part reason for his phenomenal material success.
Two quick final questions, 30 seconds apiece. You're a professor of historical theology, and of course we need history's perspective on much of this. Looking back in 100 years, how do you think Orthodox Christian historians will judge this thing of which Joel Osteen seems to be the point of the spear, this your best life now, this higher life, this become a better you? 30 seconds.
I think this will have a tremendous impact for a short period of time, and then it will pass like it has passed in previous forms earlier on in our nation's history. There have been a number of instances of this. We hinted at a few of them over the course of the last couple of hours. So that folks will say, well, here was yet another instance of this. Now, does that make it any better or worse? By no means. In fact, that simply Orthodox Christians need to confess and be prepared to confess at every possible point. Because just as we see it now, I think we'll see it in yet another form again.
Then finally, why is the basic premise of the book, Become a Better You, essentially unbiblical, Larry?
The basic problem, is once more, the scriptures don't talk about us becoming a better you. They talk about the best you who is Christ, the best he who came into this world, and the one who declares us to be his own. And this, again, I've been saying it in a variety of forms for a couple hours now, but this is the fundamental issue that I have with Joel Osteen, is that he doesn't point people to Christ, and he has every opportunity to do so. And what we need, therefore, are proclaimers of Christ who stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, the scriptures are clear, Christ came into this world, fulfilled God's law in every particular, fulfilled it perfectly for sinful humankind, then went to the cross, paid the price for human sin once and for all, stood in our place on that cross, hung there for us, and took away the penalty. He suffered death, rose again, ascended on high, so that it is truly indeed finished. Our salvation is complete, full, and the promise of God is that believing in him, we have life and life to the full.
Here's our mailing address, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. Our website address, issuesetc.org. Use any of those to receive a free copy of the next Issues Etc. journal, or make a year-end tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. Remember, any size gift is deeply appreciated. For a year-end gift of $50 or more, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas sermon I preached titled When the Fullness of Time Had Come. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. 1-800-737-0172 or issuesetc.org. Dr. Larry Rast is academic dean and professor of historical theology at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Larry, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd. Always a delight, and blessings to all your listeners.
Osteen says, and he is a nice guy, there's no doubt about it. The criticism here is not of Joel, but of his teaching, and let's make that distinction clear. He says he's an encourager and not a gospel preacher. What's his encouragement? Try harder. You can do it. Read the book. That's basically the theme of the book. You can do it. Is that true encouragement? Is that the encouragement of the Holy Scriptures? Scripture does not say try harder. Scripture says your best efforts are filthy rags in the eyes of God, and your best efforts do not suffice. But Christ's perfect life lived in your place and laid down at the cross for you does suffice before God. He is your righteousness. Scripture doesn't say you can do it. Scripture says you can't do it, but Jesus can and did do it for you. He lived that perfect life, that best life before God in your place, and it is his life that avails before God, not yours. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.